You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hey guys, this is Ryan, and this is part two of our Marvel podcast. So if you haven't seen part one or listened to it, please go back, catch that up. Otherwise, we will be talking about phase two and only phase two in this one.
So, phase one concluded. The big part with this is that it is massive and overarching and spawning.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about phase two, which is also phase two is complete.
Phase two is now finished.
Yes.
Yes.
And so...
It encompasses Iron Man 3 to Ant-Man was the last of phase two, which Ant-Man doesn't make sense. Ant-Man should have been... If I'm speaking, Ant-Man should have been the start of phase three.
You think?
Yeah.
I think... Ant-Man and Ultron should have switched. I think Ultron,
or that, yes. Yeah, or that. Yes. That would have been fine.
That would have been great.
Yeah,
It is a weird one to end the phase on. I will say that. I agree with that. Not that it's bad.
No, it just feels like the start of something. It doesn't feel like the conclusion.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get into it and start off with Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3, which is my favorite Iron Man.
This one is, okay.
Nobody else's.
No, I don't know anybody else who likes 3 the best.
Reason number one, Shane Black.
Yes, he did.
You guys know
this, right?
I love Shane Black.
Yeah, I do.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, looking forward to The Nice Guys. He wrote and directed this. And I think he did a fantastic job.
I should maybe go back and rewatch this knowing that now.
Now, it's cheesy. I think a lot of people were disappointed after the Avengers with kind of the scale of it. It was on a pretty big scale, but just to go back to a solo Iron Man movie.
It's hard to follow the Avengers.
It is. Yeah.
And I get, like, if you're going to do it with Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man 3. That is going to soften the blow and make it come out easier. So, okay. Yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. And I do like Shane Black did this. Again, I guess I didn't know that until you and I really started hanging out.
Oh, yeah. Go back and listen to the dialogue. You'll hear a lot of it, but specifically you'll notice with all of the henchmen stuff. The
really?
Henchmen of the Mandarin really seems like it's straight out of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and like it's me, you, and the frying pan. You are the frying pan. Like, that kind of talk, like, they had in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, it's here. Like,
okay.
And this is, like, one of my favorite things is... Oh, we'll get into it. There's a lot I love about Iron Man, but, like, the henchmen talk. And Tony Stark, single-handedly, in one set piece, dispatches of all these henchmen with an Iron Man suit that doesn't quite work. It's, like, pieces, so he has, like, the gauntlet for the hand and, like, the booster on one foot.
Yeah.
And he fights people that way. And he takes them all out. There's one guy standing. He turns, aims the gauntlet at him, getting ready to fire. And the guy just throws down his gun. He's like, I don't like these people. They're weird.
Yeah.
I get it. And he just walks off. And like, that's the end of the set piece. And it's like, that sense of humor is done perfectly.
That reminds
and
me
I
a
love
lot
it.
Of Machete. Because there's that scene in Machete where he comes out, he kills all those other henchmen. And the other henchman is just like, you know, yeah, go ahead. No. So I always love that. Because I mean, I relate. Because if I was a henchman... Yeah. And I came up to that. Fuck no.
Yeah.
Okay. Regular dude. Maybe I got a chance if I'm a trained henchman. Tony Stark, Iron Man. Fuck it. No.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna give me a giant magnet to like strap myself to him or what? Is the suit magnetized?
It is.
Like if Magneto fought Iron Man, what the fuck would happen? Let's go ahead and throw this out here. Hypotheticals.
Well, if this was the first time they encountered, Iron Man would not be able to do much because it is magnetized. That said, I think Tony Stark would improvise and improve later suits to counteract that and come up with a non-magnetic suit.
And I guess is the suit a separate special metal like adamantium and
vibranium?
It is
not.
It is not. So it is just metal.
It is just metal. Whatever metal it is, but yeah.
But probably like a higher grade than like a steel.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Stark's got
something. Iron Man was Iron Man because of what he built in the cave.
Yeah.
In the first one. That
because
was an
was
iron suit made
really
out of
ragtag,
crude metal.
Just, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's why he's called Iron Man from that one suit, that all gray suit, the iconic suit. But Iron Man 3 does a lot of things that I've said already. Like, I love that Marvel turns things on their ear. They do things a little different. This movie, I feel like, above any of the other movies, twists formula and defies expectations. And I think that's most seen with Ben Kingsley's The Mandarin.
Because he's not the Mandarin.
Which is a thing that most people and fanboys hate. And usually I'm in that group that's like, I don't know why they did that. I think it adds to the movie.
I actually, I fully agree with you here. I totally get that. And I think it's... it's a cool twist.
Twist is so clever and funny. Yeah. And spoilers, there's a spoiler alert on all of these, so I'm going to spoil the shit out of it. He's an actor. He's just Trevor. He's just an actor. A British Mank-loving actor. And I kind of love that.
So who hires him to play the Mandarin?
Is Aldrich Killian, who is kind of another tech rival for Tony Stark. There's a theme here, because in the comics, like, that's all he does, fight a bunch of other evil businessmen.
But does that guy work for Hydra? I kind of thought he did.
We don't know that. Okay, I think you can probably go back to this movie and assume he does, or that whatever happens, I don't know. But I think you can assume that later on. It's not made clear in this movie.
Just to, you know, again, for people who don't know, I don't know.
We did not mention Hydra. Exactly. And that's why I wanted.
Hydra is the counterpart to S.H.I.E.L.D., I would say.
Led by the Red Skull. Yes. Originally.
Yeah. So they are just the bad guy organization.
Agreed.
You have S.H.I.E.L.D. and you have Hydra. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's really all I wanted to say about that. Just get that out there. So.
Good. No, that was needed. So Aldrich Killian was betrayed by Tony Stark long, long time ago, has a grudge set up. He left him. I mean, they put I keep questioning it. It's Guy Pearce. Yep. It's like wholeheartedly Guy Pearce. I cannot like say that confidently for some reason. Like, I think I'm wrong every time. Okay. Guy Pearce is in like horrible nerd face. Like, he's uglied up. He's given glasses, like a cane. He's hunching. He's like, wow, well, excuse me, Tony Stark, in like the 80s or something. They do a flashback at the beginning. Tony Stark kind of ditches him, abandons him on a roof. He contemplates suicide and then doesn't go through with it, and then lives for defacing Tony Stark from that point on. It's the same theme as Ivan Vanko, so it's a little disappointing.
Or also Superman's rival, god damn it, Lex Luthor.
Yeah, a little bit. So that's
feels
in the
inferior
movie.
So wants to make him inferior, basically.
Yes, exactly. So
also maybe the Riddler,
and he has a thing for Pepper Potts.
Who doesn't have a thing for Pepper Potts? You really don't?
I don't
like Gwyneth Paltrow as
I don't
all.
Either.
But man, I like her as Pepper Potts. I don't know what it is, man.
I don't. And the only time I've ever found her really, really enjoyable is in Iron Man 3 and then The Avengers. I like her a little bit in The Avengers.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I had half of a... oh shit, what did she say? She was like, I don't know. Fuck it. Edit that part out. Look at this.
Fuck
Hartman,
it.
Look at that.
No
edit that shit out.
No edits.
No, you're
no
saying
edits.
No?
No, that's in now. So now you look like a doof.
Great, thanks. So- thanks, sound engineer Andy, for not sound engineering the mistake that just happened.
There's no mistake.
Well, now we have to keep it in because we're going to make a big thing about it. And if we're going to make a big thing, I feel like 5 more minutes talking about this to really drive it home that you should have edited this out.
Oh my God. You're killing the momentum of this episode. And it's okay. I want to bring it back though.
You're killing my image.
I have this image I have crafted of myself and you're killing it.
Just pissing on my corpse of an image. Pissing on it.
Talk to me.
All right.
God damn it, about Pepper Potts. In Iron Man 3, she wears the suit, right?
Very briefly.
Yeah, but she does wear it.
Yeah.
It's to save Tony, which
she's
is
she's actually
flip.
Given a lot to do in Iron Man 3. She puts on the suit to save Tony in the pinch and to save...
Somebody.
Rebecca something. I can't think of her name. It's irrelevant. Love interest from his past. Who is a scientist who helped work on the Extremis formula. The Extremis formula modifies man's genome to give them essentially what is like fire mutant powers.
Yeah, of course it does.
Regenerate limbs.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a really neat thing is like dumb, silly concept. They're doing it using people who fought overseas in the war to regrow their limbs. So you get these kind of the henchmen are like tragic war victims, like who come back like without just their amputees. It's just kind of it's I don't know. It's just enough of a motive and just enough like cleverness that it overrides the cheesiness, which is fire monsters, which is kind of dumb. It's kind of dumb. And it doesn't really quite fit in the Iron Man universe. It does a little bit since, you know, he was in the Avengers fighting a bunch of aliens. But
of course.
That's the other thing, too, is I think the Avengers starts the chain of events that will lead to the Tony Stark we see in Civil War. Because of the Avengers, because he went into space, he put the nuclear bomb in space. He almost didn't come back through the wormhole. He almost died.
It was a great sacrifice.
Yeah.
It was very Captain America-esque.
It was very heroic.
Yeah.
But he has PTSD in Iron Man 3. Like, he's not okay. He saw shit that he cannot unsee. He knows just how infantile he is compared to the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And he just feels helpless. So he starts building suits after suits after suits to the detriment of his relationships with Rhodey, to the detriment of his relationship with Pepper Potts. And I think that is a better character arc than the dumb, I don't know, palladium, whatever kind of metal that's killing him and poisoning him in Iron Man 2. Like,
and
it makes
also,
more sense.
What I like about this one is that it sort of sets up that he starts to make, much like Batman in the Justice League, has contingency plans for all the members of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie shows off Hulkbuster, does it not?
It shows off the start of the Hulkbuster.
Yeah.
It's not called the Hulkbuster.
No.
It's called something else. But
it's like the prototype era of like, okay, so should
it's
I ever
a
need
big hulking thing
to go after the Hulk, which is it's great. And again, it's a nice setup because that does eventually obviously come into play. I do have one question that is totally just unrelated.
Please
have Pepper Potts and Tony Stark ever banged?
Yeah.
You think so? Like,
I mean, before Iron Man 3? Yes.
You think that they have a...
Yeah, they were absolutely banging in the time of Avengers. After Iron Man 2 is when they hook up for real. They've been banging in the time between the end of Iron Man 2 and the beginning of Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Because they're living
they
together.
Kiss.
They're
but,
living
but
together
she's,
in Iron Man 3.
Too, right?
It doesn't matter. He's still fucking that. Like, they're living together in Iron Man 3.
Okay,
so
okay.
They surely are.
Okay. Fair enough.
Good question.
Yeah, well, I mean, fuck, that's what every comic book nerd wants to know, right?
Is he hitting that Gwyneth? Yeah. You hitting that?
Yeah. You hitting that Pepper Potts? You giving her the Potts Potts? The pot shot? Huh?
Aww.
Oh, come on. Give me one. Jesus Christ. So,
he
Iron
got
Man
all
3.
Up in that pothole.
Oh, that was much better than mine.
Right?
High five on that one.
Thank you.
So, Iron Man 3, its contribution to the overall MCU. Is there an Infinity Stone?
There is no Infinity Stone.
And
it is like the ending arc of Iron Man.
I think so,
but
yeah.
It's still going on. It is, the biggest thing is he removes the
arc reactor.
Thank you. He's removing the arc reactor from his chest. He's fixed that, and that's it. Like, he says he's giving up the Iron Man at the end of that movie. He blows up all of his suits in a grand gesture. But then we know he's coming back for Age of Ultron.
I think
with
we've
more
all
suits.
Made things like that, and then immediately turned around and been like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
That's what this seems like. And that's kind of like the weird thing when we get to Age of Ultron is at no point do they ever discuss like why he came back. Like, he gave up that life and then is like just in it in Ultron for no reason. He's just back in the swing of things with the Avengers.
Yeah, they don't really set that up any.
They drop the ball on that one.
Yeah. So
the other big thing is at the very end of Iron Man 3, there's a coda, and this is the Shane Black thing too. You can tell this is a Shane Black movie because it's done entirely with narration from Robert Downey Jr. The very end of the movie, we find out all of this is just a story that happened that he's telling to Dr. Banner, Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
He's just talking to him because he's a therapist, and he's like, I'm not that kind of doctor. Like,
yeah. So, and also, I think we've discussed this before, but in not just in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but in Marvel as a whole, Tony Stark is like the third smartest guy after...
From comics, yeah.
After
we talked about this before.
Yeah, it's, after like Reed Richards and Doctor Doom.
Right now, I think Amadeus Cho is the smartest person in the
and
MCU.
Who is that?
He is the he's the son of Dr. Cho, Margaret Cho, who you see in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
She's the Asian lady.
Yeah.
She has a son eventually called Amadeus Cho, who's a mutant, who is the smartest.
Okay.
And then would be like Reed Richards, and then Tony
Doctor
Stark.
Doom. But Doctor Doom's Dr. really Doom. Startup. Oh, so Doctor Doom's below Tony?
I would say so.
And then Banner is
and
like
Banner's
fifth?
Up there. He's yeah. Those are your top five. I think it changes depending on what's needed for
and
each comic
what's
book.
Yeah, of course. It's always in flux. But those guys are. But like, there's like super genius, and then you have like 10 degrees above that, and that's when you start getting like Bruce Banner, Reed Richards, Tony Stark, Doctor Doom. All of those guys are just of a level that is like you above comprehension. It's like fucking 300 on the IQ scale, like just blowing it out.
Agreed.
So, okay. Just
that's,
to establish that, Tony
is.
Stark is fucking smart as hell.
Yeah. So, in the MCU, he is the smartest.
I think so. In the MCU
down
yeah,
so far.
It's Tony Stark and then Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm. And then Hank Pym's up there somewhere.
Yeah.
Not quite to those
level.
Five.
No.
Yeah. He's like just below.
Well, even in the MCU, I mean, because Fantastic Four isn't in the MCU.
No.
So it's Tony Stark and Banner. And that's
probably,
one of the things we didn't
Tony
really
Stark,
talk about
Banner,
in the Avengers, but I love that buddy cop
the science
aspect.
Bros.
Yeah, of Banner and Stark, because they're always like kind of working together and talking things out and working on things. And I love that was some, you know, taking it, giving a callback. I love in the Avengers when Tony Stark is really trying to actually kind of piss Banner off and make him Hulk out. And it's like, what are you doing? And Banner's even like, dude, stop. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? I love that. It's a nice little thing. It's funny. It shows Tony Stark's piss in the wind mentality. Like, let's do it to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Tony Stark's character, I feel. Whereas Banner is much more safe. He sees what can happen. So, anyways.
He's the more tragic character. Yeah. Whereas Tony Stark's a little bit more carefree up until just recently.
Yeah. But let's move on to, I think, the weakest in Phase 2.
Oh, for sure. I would say of all the Phase 2 movies, this is the weakest. It's the only one that I would say is just fine.
Yeah, which is crazy because all of the rest of them are pretty fucking good.
I think they're all really strong. Age of Ultron is a little bit lower.
But that's not to negate it. Mm-hmm. I think Age of Ultron still does a lot of things really cool and really fun. So
I agree.
But Thor Dark World, this is the one that I probably know the least of. I didn't really enjoy it, so I'm going to really let you take lead.
Well, I know enough about this. If we're going to tie in just to Civil War, this introduces a new stone. It introduces the Aether, which is the Reality Stone, I believe. Jane Foster finds it, gets imbued with it, and then Thor has to come back, save Jane Foster, remove the Aether from her. Meanwhile, an ancient dark force, the Dark Elves, come back. Malekith. Malekith is the leader. I guess he's upset because he was owned by the Asgardians long, long ago. And this is why Laura likes it, because it opens with a very Lord of the Rings kind of flashback. It's like the 6-minute scene where like Sauron's armies fight the elves and the Earth armies.
That's
and Sauron
a great
loses.
Opening scene. I don't feel that in Thor Dark World.
I don't feel like this comes close to it, but I do see the similarities. I see the similarities. It
I
doesn't come close at
yeah,
all,
okay.
But it is very similar in tone. And that's why I think she enjoys this one more. Because you have the elves and it kind of feels medieval.
I think it's Chris Hemsworth walking around shirtless with long hair.
There's a lot of that. But we also get Selvig. Skarsgård walks around naked or in his underwear for a lot of the film too.
Yeah. Because is he...
His brain's fucked up after the Avengers. So he's like in an insane asylum after going to Stonehenge completely naked with equipment trying to figure something out, which I think is a fun gag. And this film has a lot of fun gags, but ultimately the story is kind of blah. Malekith is easily, I think, the most bland villain in any of these films.
Yep, I'll give you that.
The only one who comes close is maybe Darren Cross in Ant-Man. I think he's number two.
But he's fun.
But like, at least he has something
more
to do.
To the actor than... Yeah.
Corey Stoll is a fantastic actor and does a lot with...
He really saved that because it could have been awful.
I agree. So. And Yellowjacket's easily like more visually interesting and iconic than Malekith, which is just, I had half my face burnt by lightning and that's it. And he has long ears. It's a complete waste of Christopher Eccleston.
Here's another thing that it's just me asking.
Sure.
Thor flies by flinging the hammer and just holding it.
Yeah.
Right?
He doesn't fly. He uses the momentum of Mjolnir being
much
thrown.
Much like Superman doesn't. I mean, he does fly now, but he used to just leap, which is what the Doomsday character does do. He has that aspect, but Superman pretty much just flies. So basically, he spins Mjolnir and flings it and then just pulls
guides
himself
with it. Yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's unique.
Yeah, and they show it always. Like,
yeah, he's
I'll
always
forget
fling.
That at a time, but then you'll see him like winding it up
and then
throwing
it.
And
yeah.
Going, what a fucking great thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things like when Captain America throws his shield, it's just perfect. The way they do it, I can't quite describe
it. It's something that scratches that brain itch. You're like, that's how
perfect.
That should go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing you can say about this movie is there's that. But in Phase 2, it's kind of weird. And we said this with Iron Man 3. Is like they go off and they separate. It's like, well, we're going back to the solo hero movies. And some of them kind of struggle. I think this one struggles quite a bit.
Very much. I think, I think this is the worst overall, outside of Incredible Hulk, which I don't even really consider.
I would say Incredible Hulk, and then Thor the Dark World, and then Iron Man 2 is number 3. But
for me, it's both Thor movies.
That's fair.
I like Chris Hemsworth. I like the Thor character. I think both these movies fall far from what they should be.
Oh, I agree. The stories in the Thor movies, I think...
Which is great, because Thor in the Avengers movies is awesome.
He's a character that works for me a lot better
in an ensemble.
Yes. The just his stories, even in the comics, like I don't read solo Thor because it's just not my cup of tea. It's not for me. It is that kind
you
of
also don't read
medieval
solo
ancient shit.
Hulk.
Well, he's also super boring. Like planet. At least
I so disagree.
At least
but
Planet
yeah.
Hulk is very interesting.
God damn, that's
Planet Hulk
fucking
is good.
Awesome. Both that and World War.
I don't like World War Hulk. World War Hulk is just like, oh, let's beat up everybody because I'm the
and
best.
And he does do it, and it's fucking awesome. I'm reading it again right now, and it's fun. It's silly, but it's fun.
I like the struggle with humanity, which is Planet Hulk, and like him giving up on humanity and Earth
does.
And living
and
life there.
And then they fuck him over again.
And it's a tragic ending.
He's got to come back for
great.
That revenge, baby.
It is great. And that's, I mean, we'll talk about Phase 3 and onward probably, but everything I'm hearing is Thor 3 Ragnarok is going to be a buddy cop movie featuring Hulk and Thor.
I'm so sold already.
Where they do Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
It is the start of Planet Hulk with Thor in the mix now. Instead of Beta Ray Bill, like from the books, they use Thor. And Silver Surfer, I think, was in the books too. So you have Thor instead. Like he
I don't
fights.
Think Silver Surfer shows up in World War.
Does is that Planet? Not World War, Planet Hulk.
Okay, maybe. Hulk. I don't really remember. Because I enjoy World War better just because he just tears through everybody.
It is.
It's a
that.
Fun read. But anyway. So, Thor Dark World, there is a new stone.
The
we
Aether.
See the Aether.
Yes.
And that so that at this point this is two?
Three we've
three.
Seen.
Three.
We've seen the Tesseract.
Possible five.
We've seen Loki's staff, and now we see the Aether.
But what is the Tesseract?
The Tesseract is the space stone.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yes, it's a space stone. So it's like the teleporter. So you can go anywhere you want with that one.
And the mind one is the one in the spear.
Yes.
And which one is that?
Which one's what?
Is the spear one. What color
it's
is
the
that?
Mind Stone. It's in the spear.
The Tesseract is blue.
In the spear, it's blue. But in Age of Ultron...
After they break it
for
out,
for some
right?
reason, yeah, it's there's something beneath the surface. They break it, and there's a yellow stone.
Okay, so it's yellow.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll get more into that.
And
so.
Then the Aether, the reality stone, is red.
Is red.
Yeah.
Okay. So that let's just call that on Thor. Because, I mean, there's really not a lot there. I mean, there is that. But anyway, so we'll move on to one of the best in this phase.
Oh, I think it should be said, too, just for the catch-up sake, that the end of the movie revolves around Loki pretending to die. So Thor, Jane Foster, everybody thinks he's dead. And then he comes back and he does something to Odin. We don't know what has happened to Odin. He maybe killed him. He's maybe locked him up somewhere. But Loki is pretending to be Odin, ruling Asgard.
And
so
Loki,
that will come back into play.
Just Loki is the god of tricks, which totally plays into that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So moving on from Thor, we get into Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Which is a fucking awesome movie.
It's phenomenal.
I like this way better than the original Captain America. And I like the Captain America, the original one. This one does a lot of really cool things. And has a lot of great fight scenes. And it sets up Bucky.
Yeah.
I read a great breakdown of this movie. And I'm totally not going to remember any of it or butcher it. But I've heard that also Captain America could be classified as the Winter Soldier. Even though they call Bucky that. It's some sort of classification of what a Winter Soldier is.
Actually is. Oh, yeah. So it gives it like a double meaning.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Captain America could also technically be it.
I actually don't know the definition of a Winter Soldier, so I do not know.
That's some knowledge I dropped on you, so you can go home and
look
that up.
Very cool. I will look that up.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think I do like this one better than Captain America, the first one. But it's like comparing apples and oranges. They are so different.
They are the highlight extremes. These are always better than the Captain America, or I'm sorry, the Iron Man's.
Which are the same, pretty much. The
same
plot.
These are way better than the Thor's. I've always enjoyed all the standalone Captain films. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really like Captain America that much as a character outside of it. I really love the movie portrayal of him. And it's really turned me around and on to Captain America as a whole. Because before, I didn't really care. Like
in the comics, he's a little stiff. He's not an easy character to like sometimes.
In the comics, I've always really liked Hawkeye more than Captain America.
I don't disagree. There's a run going on right now with Hawkeye that's maybe my favorite Marvel run in the last 10, 15 years.
I'm always big on archers, sharpshooters, and snipers. Yeah. Hawkeye is all three of those.
Agreed.
And
that's my favorite DC character is Green Arrow for that very reason. I love Green Arrow.
I like Green Arrow but I think even though Hawkeye was like the response to Green Arrow, I think I like Hawkeye better. Also because Hawkeye uses purple.
Mm.
I like purple. Even though Hulk is green, but he's got those purple pants, dog.
He does. Okay. So, anyway, it's all coming to place now. I understand why.
Captain America, Winter Soldier. This sets up a lot for Civil War, I feel.
And the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole.
Yeah.
This is a big game changer.
This is a big turning point.
Yeah. There's no Infinity Stones in this one.
Nope.
But it changes kind of everything. What it reveals here is that Hydra has not gone away. Hydra has been in the shadows for 60 years, infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D. Half the members of S.H.I.E.L.D. are Hydra.
Not only S.H.I.E.L.D., but all aspects of the U.S.
Everywhere.
Government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see, and this is another, I love just like the callbacks. They're so good at this, but Gary Shandling returns as like the senator from Iron Man 2 who is trying to turn down Tony Stark. And now we get insight as to why he was trying to turn down Tony Stark.
Hail Hydra.
Because he's part of Hydra. Yep. And it's so cool that you get these callbacks. But yes, Hydra's a big thing. And their big plan is to get these helicarriers up in the air into pre-target threats. Threats that are determined to be dangerous in the future. So this is a theological debate between Captain America and Nick Fury and everybody else around him.
And
like,
again, it sets up the ideas of Civil War.
And
it
is, freedom isn't fear.
Yeah.
This is what you're doing. It's not freedom. What you're doing is fear-mongering. And mm-hmm. this is horrible and this is wrong. So Captain America has to make a stand with what's left of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is pretty much Natasha Romanoff and Nick Fury, kind of, who's like side-benched.
Nick Fury also gets taken out.
He does.
Quotes,
he,
air quotes.
He dies.
Yes, that's what
earlier on in the film, he dies. And this is an issue with Marvel Cinematic Universe right now, is they are unwilling to kill off people. They killed off Coulson in Avengers, only to bring him back for a show. They kill off Nick Fury, only to bring him back 30 minutes into the movie. They kill off Loki in Thor the Dark World, only to bring him back 30 minutes in. They kill off Pepper in Iron Man 3, only to bring her back 10 minutes later.
Here's why I don't have a problem with that.
Too far.
Here's why,
think.
Because God damn it, everybody dies in comic books, and everybody comes back.
Well, that's the famous line is in comic books, nobody's dead except for Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben's the only person who never comes back. When
that's
he dies, he's dead for good.
He's fucking dead.
That's the only one. And also, Jonathan Kent.
I was gonna say, Jonathan Kent, but the original Green Lantern.
Which one?
The very.
They all come back. Like Hal Jordan, every one of them comes back.
Hal
in some
Jordan
form.
Is not the original though, right?
Thought he was.
Was he the original? Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking Flash.
Barry Allen, Wally West, all of them come back.
Yeah, but for most
because
part,
the time force is even like that goes into time travel, so he's always around in some fucking form
God
or another.
Damn. I thought that one of them like is pretty much maybe it's the Robin. Who's the Jason Todd?
Jason Todd even comes back as the Red Hood.
God damn.
And then Arkham Knight, spoilers for that game. Fuck you guys if you haven't played it yet, but like he comes back too.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like everybody comes back. And that's fine in comics because you're doing 12 stories every year that goes on for years and years and years. So you get like Captain America's and it's 500th issue. There are 500 fucking stories. So like it makes sense that like years and years and years and years down the line, you bring back Bucky as Winter Soldier. That's why you can kill Captain America in Civil War and then bring him back 5-6 years later for that. In movies, when it is literally you're jumping from this is the story, in the next story you're going to undo what you did in that story, and then the next story you're going to...
Then
it becomes an issue because there's not enough space. So
speaking of that, in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, we are introduced to Bucky, who is the Winter Soldier.
Who's like the goddamn Terminator.
He's fucking badass. And he has
a
metal arm.
Yeah.
And he kicks all kinds of ass. And Bucky was Captain America's friend.
In the first Avenger.
Yeah. Yeah, from World War II.
Who falls off a train and dies, we assume.
I'm assuming he also was frozen in ice for a period of time?
No, what happened, and you see a little bit of it in Winter Soldier, you see
Hydra
like flashbacks,
him, right?
Yes. Okay. Hydra gets him out real quick. He's badly injured. He's like on death's bed. You see like a flashback in Winter Soldier where you can see his point of view as he's being dragged without like limbs and like he's bloodied up by these soldiers. And it's Arnim Zola who was the first in command to the Red Skull. He takes him and experiments on him. He does his brainwashing stuff to turn him into this killing machine that he is. And so that's what happens. He wasn't frozen in ice. He's just kind of machine at this point. And he has a type of super soldier serum in it.
But again, not the
It's this Arnim Zola
knockoff.
But
it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, because he's still young. He doesn't age either.
Yeah, and he's almost on a level of Captain America. And I think that plays into a point in the future.
Yeah, He's almost on a level of Captain America, but Captain America can't get past it being his best friend.
Yeah.
So that's why Captain America will ultimately lose every time to Bucky.
Because he can't.
It's a Superman thing. Yeah. Like, that's how you make him interesting, by giving him vulnerabilities. Like,
yeah.
Humanity, weakness, emotions.
So this one doesn't have an Infinity Stone, nope. But it sets up big things, especially for Civil War, mm-hmm. because Bucky and Captain team up in Civil War against Tony Stark, who... And this is just a broad generalization, but I'm going to classify it as Captain America is Bernie Sanders, Tony Stark is Donald Trump.
I don't think it's going to be like that at all. Everybody who has seen the movie has said both have reasons and both have Absolutely. Valid points.
And Donald Trump in a comic book.
Does not have valid points to hate Mexicans and build a wall and make America great again. They're not valid.
Well... I wasn't being literal. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm being literal.
In their viewpoints of why they're doing what they're doing. Like why Captain America resisted to where why Tony Stark accepts it. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
I wasn't saying Tony Stark wants to fucking put up a wall of.
He does.
Mark V suits at the border just shooting a wall all Mexicans.
Of Iron Men yeah. that just kill indiscriminate races.
So, Winter Soldier. Do you have anything else you want to say about it? Because.
It's fantastic. It introduces...
I'm going to let you ramble because I'm going to go pee again, but we're not going to stop.
Winter Soldier introduces the Falcon, Sam Wilson, who is in the comics like one of Captain's best friends after Bucky has disappeared and eventually takes the place as Captain America. Both actually, Bucky and Sam Wilson, the Falcon, are Captain America at different points. But right now, Sam Wilson is the Captain America in the comics. So he's going to be an integral part. To the rest of the story. You are also given a fantastic villain with Robert Redford as Alexander Pierce, who maybe not iconic, doesn't get a super suit, doesn't get superpowers. He's just a
bureaucrat.
Seedy bureaucrat, and he does very, very good in this movie. He's a perfect foil to Nick Fury. And
also, I feel really bad because I saw this movie with Nathan, and I got Falcon confused with the DC character Black Falcon.
So you kept calling him Black Falcon.
Because he was played by a black guy. And I told Nathan a few times, I was like, oh shit, he's Black Falcon, right? And Nathan was finally like,
you gotta stop that shit.
Hey, he wasn't like that, but he's like, I'm pretty sure it's just Falcon. And I'm like, it's not Black Falcon? He's like, no, that's DC. I'm like, oh, I'm just a racist asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really. No. But it's not Black Falcon.
It's just Falcon
played by a black guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So there we go. There we go.
And this is one of the cool things. I think this is definitely going to come up in Civil War. I know it already. But in the comics, they've changed the Falcon a little bit. They made him a little bit more modern. They don't give him the bright red and white suit with actual bird feathers. It's a mechanical army prototype. And I think it works perfectly.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah.
He also, in the comics, has the ability to telepathically speak to his pet Falcon, Redbird.
Get it out of there. That's fine.
That said, and this what they're doing with Civil War, which I really like, and it's a great callback to the fans. If you don't know this, now you'll know this going in. They're giving him a drone,
which makes
that's
so
called
much more
Redbird.
Sense. Makes so much sense
to check out, and that's a great thing. Yeah. That's like the thing that Marvel does is like they adapt it well. It's not needless adaptation. Yeah. It's because you can't have a brother talking to birds in a movie in 2016.
You can't have a brother talking to birds. Yeah.
You can't do it.
But you can't have a white dude talking to ants.
That's totally fine. That's true. That's true. That's you know totally what? Fine. I take that back. You have a brother talking to birds, I'll watch that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds good. I'd watch it. But yeah, so that's something. So I think that I will also say, too, I love how Captain America, we were talking about how he throws the shield in this movie. He uses the shield in so many clever ways.
Different ways. It's utility. It is.
And like he also has like a scene where he like brute strength is chasing down the Winter Soldier and he's like busting through doors with it. And like he rams into walls with the shield to bounce off and propel to keep going.
Yeah, it's great.
I love it. And
it's adaptability. And he understands what the shield does and knows how to use it to his advantage.
And that's exactly
what a super soldier given like one of the greatest tools, period. Mm-hmm. What do with that? What I love about the shield is its ability to be both offensive and defensive.
Yes.
It's a perfect weapon.
Yeah.
Because it can protect as well as attack. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking amazing. And not many weapons have that. A lot of guys are just total offense. Like Wolverine's claws. Like those aren't going to protect him from anything. You know, Iron Man's suit is sort of on that level too. Because it can attack and protect. But not... the shield is so iconic. It's got the fucking red, white, and blue and the star. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
I think it just makes it more visually interesting. Yeah. Like, give me a Captain America fight scene over anyone else, because that shield is something we don't see in any other movie. So I think it just makes it more fun. But it should be said, this is directed by the Russo brothers, Joe and Anthony Russo. And this is one of those cases I was talking about where Marvel hires talent, not like portfolios. Because the only thing these two have done was direct a few episodes of Arrested Development and a few episodes of Community. So they get this big budget Hollywood action movie. They fucking nail it. And then they also like still make it funny. They make it relatable.
They make it really funny.
They even put in Abed.
Of course they do. Cool.
Like,
cool. Like, I did not know this until the last episode we recorded, but you're a big Community fan.
I love Community.
Ah, it's one of the best shows ever.
It's fantastic. It's so good. It's smart. Yeah. It's so smart. And you know what? Hire more people that worked on Community. Yeah. Everybody. Because absolutely. They're fucking geniuses.
They get it, and they get nerd, and they respect it.
They do. They do. So, they do. Yeah.
I guess my only other thing with Winter Soldier, what was I going to say?
Keeping, leaping, lopping, loping.
It's got good fights. It sets up a lot of things. I think Bucky's going to be the new captain. I think that's what they're pushing at here. I don't know if he'll carry a movie.
I don't know. I don't think Captain America is going to die in this movie. In Civil War that's coming up, I don't think they're going to do... I don't know what they're
going
to do.
I don't think he's going to die, but I think he's going to be...
out of commission. He's going to quit. Oh, you think incapacitated?
Yeah.
Maybe.
To some, you know, that could be quitting. I don't know. We'll find out. I think it'll be fun. But
if they do go that route, I think it's going to be Sam Wilson. I don't think Marvel Comics would have pivoted so hard on the Falcon being Captain America if they didn't want to do this diversity thing. Because Marvel's been credited, or they've had some issues with, like, why aren't there any girl solo movies? Why aren't there any, you know, African-American characters that get their own movies? I think they're going to pivot that way for diversity's sake.
I disagree, because why take Falcon away from being Falcon if he's already established as Falcon?
Oh, no. In the comics, he is the Falcon, but with Captain America's shield, yeah, too.
But I think give it to Bucky.
Sure.
And make, because he's got all these other aspects. And so, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll find out.
I mean, in the comics, weeks, like, so, immediately after Civil War, it was Bucky. So yeah, it very well could be. So it very well could be.
Moving on. I think this next movie ties for my second favorite in Phase 2 and one of my favorites overall after The Avengers.
That year was a great year.
Killer.
2014 gave us Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which is what we're moving on to.
I think are the strongest.
It was a big sleeper hit.
Of Phase 2.
It was a big sleeper hit. Came out of nowhere. I think the only other surprise was my other favorite in this phase.
Yeah.
But Guardians of the Galaxy, on paper, should not have been what it was. Yeah. Honestly.
Like, no, it shouldn't have. I mean, you break it down.
And you talked a lot about them taking a risk. Holy fuck, did Marvel take a risk with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I think marketing helped a lot, push it to where it is, because it kind of sort of helped you understand what was going on, and it really got people interested. But man, this movie was fucking weird.
The marketing was really good, and the direction was just fantastic. Like, James Gunn had a vision, and it seems like they let him do that.
Yeah.
And you're right. On paper, it is an outer space group of losers.
C-list superheroes.
Yeah. That includes a talking tree that only says three words, a talking raccoon that's cybernetically modified, two green alien assassins who weren't very relatable in the books, and then like an earthling who's disassociated from Earth, no ties to the Avengers, no connection, no nothing. It shouldn't work.
But it did.
It did. Like, and the audience loved it.
I loved it too, man.
I mean, I did too. Like, yeah. It's one of my favorites, but like mainstream people love this movie.
Yeah.
Fucking, I would not have guessed this.
No. I anticipated this being a big flop, and me too. Glad that it wasn't. So
that's I was like, I saw trailers and I was like, I'm going to really love that movie.
Nobody else will.
Yeah. I'm glad I was wrong.
Yeah. I was into it. I knew vaguely of the Guardians. Mm-hmm. I mean, much like the Avengers, the team has changed all throughout a long time. But yeah, I really like... I think, to me, the best part of this movie is probably Chris Pratt. He nails Star-Lord.
Ooh.
To a hardcore degree. He's fun.
I don't disagree with you, but he's not my relatable. Favorite part.
Who's your favorite?
I mean, I'm just astounded that they were able to pull off Rocket Raccoon.
Exactly. Rocket is a very close second, and I think Bradley Cooper helps a lot in that aspect, too. Mm-hmm. Rocket is fun. He's carefree. He's capturing that id of just do it. Again, I talk about it a lot.
The Han Solo kind of just like the everyman who is still slightly cooler than the everyman to be like something like you want to attain to.
And he has his own Chewbacca.
He does. Well, I guess, yeah, if you're breaking it down, he should theoretically be like the Luke Skywalker, then Rocket's Han Solo,
well, that's what that,
Groot is Chewbacca.
Well, I was saying Rocket was Han Solo with Groot as his Chewbacca. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. But yeah, like, Chris Pratt as Star-Lord is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he shows... I don't know what else to really say. He's fun. He's of course he has comedic timing.
Perfectly,
he knows exactly
yeah.
what to do there. But he brings a lot of other things into it, which mm-hmm. you haven't seen from him, and he does it well. He was perfectly cast yeah. again, as we've been saying this whole time. It was great. So
mm-hmm.
Guardians is just a fun, exciting ride. That sort of it shows us Thanos for the first time, does it not?
Not the first time. You see Thanos at the very end of Avengers. Like, he turns and there's some quip about death.
I thought that's when he says, I have to do it myself.
He says, well, no, that's the end of Age of Ultron. In the first Avengers, okay. there's the messenger of Thanos who says, the Chitauri were stopped by the Avengers. To court them would be to court death. And then that's when Thanos turns around and gives a smile, because in the comics, like, his character is obsessed with death. Like, yeah. he is in love with an actual physical manifestation of death and just wants to send everyone to their death. Like, he's just the big bad. And so that's the first time you see him. This is the first time he talks, which
that's what it is.
He was cast by Josh Brolin, yep. who is Thanos now. And
which is another great get, man.
It's really good.
Like, I don't think he's even in makeup at all. Like, this is completely computer generated. He's just
I think it's like mocap with CG too. Yeah. Okay. It's like the Andy Serkis, like, you put dots on your face and then they put part of your face into the CG thing they're making.
It's great though. It's great.
That's movie making for you. In case you didn't know. Oh, wait. Is that you want to bleep that name out? You want to leave that out? Do we need to edit? Do I need to go on another 10-minute thing?
No,
why you should
you don't.
Edit this out?
God, we're already pushing so far. Come on.
Fuck it. We're doing 4 hours.
Guardians, man. All right. So
Guardians.
This shows off. Number one, I love this fucking villain, as I said. He's cheesy and over the top, but he's fun as fuck. And he looks cool. He's got that black and purple.
He's a great visual. Yeah.
I love that deep purple. It looks really good. And he's got, I want to say a scythe.
It's a giant hammer.
Oh,
it's like a giant
maul. He has a giant hammer. That's right. That's right. But what is his motivation? Like,
he has been wronged by the fucking empire. I can't think of the name. The Xandar Empire, led by Glenn Close as the president, with John C. Reilly as, like, one of the police officers, the Nova Corps. Like, everybody on Xandar, he has an issue because long, long ago, there was a battle between them and the Kree, and the Kree lost, and the Kree have been, like, kind of these refugees have been pushed down, essentially like the Germans after World War II. Like, they've been suppressed and pushed down, and he wants to fight back for the Kree and
so
just
like
destroy
Hitler.
Xandar a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like some kind of Nazi sympathizer.
To just broadly generalize.
To broadly sympathize. Yeah. That's it. That's it. So that's his motivation, is revenge for this thing that didn't even happen in this movie. We're just going to talk about it very briefly. But all you need to know is he's filled with rage. He's almost like a religious zealot in his conviction.
And he looks like it too, because he has this crazy hood and these flowing robes. And
well, like the very first time you see him, like, he's completely naked and blue. And then, like, he bathes and like this black blood, which you find out later is from people he's killed, but it's like almost like this religious kind of, I don't know, what's the word, religious
rite,
ritual, thank you, that's what I was looking for. It's like a religious ritual. Like, he bathes in this and then he gets like dust and ash thrown on him, and then they give him the black tears.
That's right yeah. Okay, so this one shows off another new stone.
Yes, the purple stone, which is the not the space stone, it's the power stone.
Yep.
Which
he has control of. And again, it really leads, purple is a big part of this movie, mm-hmm. especially with that character.
The color scheme, yeah.
But then Star-Lord is able to grab this stone.
Of them are able to do it, and that's how they do it, is
his
they
teamwork.
All take some of the power. But the big thing we learn is Star-Lord is not entirely human.
Yeah.
He's part human. His mother had cancer,
and
dies at the very beginning of the movie.
She was impregnated by an angel.
That's right.
Which is going to be some sort of alien that we've established now.
In the comics, it's nobody. It's like Jason of something. He's just another human dickhead bureaucrat. They've said they're not going that route in the movie. So I think something interesting would be to like make it somebody maybe we don't know. I think it's been, at this point, confirmed Kurt Russell is going to be the father.
I'm so into.
Which, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic casting.
So at this point, we have four of the five Infinity Stones that have made an appearance, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we, up until even like today, right now, we have not seen the fifth one.
We have not seen the fifth or sixth. There are six.
There are six. I thought there was only... Oh, no, because there's one in the middle, too. There's one for each finger, like... and then one in the middle. That's right.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll get more back into Infinity Stones. We'll tie this all up in a bit. So
wrap it up and put a bow on it.
Guardians, I don't really have much else to say. If you haven't seen it, it's the one I recommend the most. I think it's approachable.
Approachable
to everyone.
It's accessible. Standalone. You don't have to watch any of the other movies to understand what's happening.
You got an 8-year-old kid, they're going to love it. You're a 30-year-old dude, you're going to love it. It's fun. Yeah. It's a great ride.
And in a time right before Star Wars was back, this was like a new Star Wars.
Yeah,
like,
it was really fun.
It completely washed out the bad taste of the prequels. Like, it was a fun space adventure, which we don't get. Until now, because Star Wars is back and we're getting those. So whatever. It's
back
fine.
In hard force. But this is not a Star Wars podcast. No. As much as we want it to be and love it. So let's move on, man. Let's get to... We got two movies to talk left in Phase 2.
Yes.
I don't really want to spend a lot of time on the next one.
I don't think we need to. I don't think so either. Joss Whedon returns for Avengers Age of Ultron. And the big takeaway here is we get some new players. This movie, we are given Wanda and Pietro Maximoff.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
That's right. From Sokovia. Sokovia is this fictionalized city in the Eastern Europe. Yeah. And then we get Vision and Ultron. In the Age of Ultron story, it's pretty much the same as the movie. Ultron creates Vision to stop the Avengers, but Vision quickly learns, like, the Avengers are right. Ultron's kind of wrong. He's not wrong that the humans are going to destroy themselves. Vision realizes it, but it's the beauty of letting them have that choice and hoping... Yeah. They make the right decisions from this point on, like he can,
and not forcing them or not taking that choice away from them. Which is what Ultron wants to do,
which is fucking brushed over in this movie. This is the Iron Man 2 of the Avengers, where they are trying to do entirely too much. Mm-hmm. In this one, they are setting up telling another Avengers story. They're setting up a Hulk movie potentially with where he goes. They're setting up Thor Ragnarok. They're setting up Captain America Civil War. They're just doing too much.
And I don't know if it was purposeful or just, and I have no idea how I would even go about it, because I'm not any of these, but if it's just bad writing and bad directing. But the teamwork aspect feels so disconnected from the first Avengers, like, and even coming off of Guardians of the Galaxy, like, they don't feel like a team in this one. And I don't know if that was intentional.
I think that was intentional.
Because
the very opening of this movie is Tony Stark is given a vision by Wanda of the future, which is he is the only one left alive as all the other Avengers have fallen, and he's unable to stop this outcome.
And he wants to change
that. Everything's breaking. And that's what drives him to create Ultron, this peacekeeping robot that should theoretically protect the world, but it
police
doesn't.
The world,
It's trying to protect the world by destroying the Avengers and making them look bad. And that's whatever. But I think because you see that at the very beginning, you see them work as a team very well at the very, very opening set piece. You get like...
My one complaint, as I've told you before, is...
Go ahead.
Hulk is really weirdly used in that opening scene. Like,
he has his moments. Like,
compared, like, because at the end of the original Avengers, it's shown that Banner can control Hulk to an extent, and then in Age of Ultron, it's like, hey, here's all of us, and then Hulk's over here doing his thing.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. Because he's working with the team. He's taking, like, Barton says, like, I got a bunker over here. And, like, Hulk runs out of nowhere to stop it. Like, so they're giving him orders. And then, like, you have Black Widow, Natasha's training of him and, like, kind
she
of
works
coaxing
with him.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's true. I mean, he's as disconnected as you could say Thor is in that scene. Like, they're all kind of off doing their own thing because it's that. And it's, like, one long take where they all get their time to shine and, like,
their
different
special
action.
Thing.
Yeah, so that's why it kind of feels like
strength,
that.
Maybe.
But they're still working together. They're communicating the entire time. Unlike Batman versus Superman, where like no one is literally talking to anybody else in that entire last fight with Doomsday. Yeah. Like they're still talking, they are working together. But then you have the Vision of the future, and that's where it breaks down. And then they are fighting each other. Like after the incident in
Africa?
It's not Africa. It's where the Wakanda. It's where the Black Panther's from, where Vibranium comes from.
Okay.
After the incident in Wakanda with the Hulkbuster and Hulk fighting, like the team's kind of fucking like done. Like this is where Civil War starts is in that scene
yeah.
where they with turn them. On each other and they can see like how hard it would be to stop one of them if they went wrong. Like that's where they break. So I think the disconnected fights towards the end makes sense thematically. And I think that is intentional.
Okay. I guess, yeah, I mean, that works really well. You explained it well. I just, again, as a big Hulk fanboy,
yeah,
I don't like it.
But you get like a whole set piece of the Hulk in the Hulkbuster. Does that not make you happy?
It really, I don't know. I wasn't super into that fight. Like,
oh, I love it.
There's some cool things.
The rapid arm punch. Hulk spitting out a tooth and then Tony going, I am so sorry.
Well, no, I love the before that where he's doing the rapid arm punch. He's just going, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, yep. go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. He's trying to knock the Hulk out. That's fucking awesome.
He slams an elevator into the Hulk. Yeah. Like there are some great things.
And again, that's just me personally, where I am with my love of the Hulk. I don't like that he spits the tooth out, that he was, like, what? That would not happen. Like
the Hulkbuster armor can stand toe to toe with the Hulk in the comics. Yeah, it might.
I don't know anybody that's made the Hulk lose a tooth. That's fucking like, dude, because the Hulk like bite through mountains and shit. Like
he doesn't bite mountains though. Like this is theoretical. Like there is no comic in which the Hulk bites a mountain.
He's
super strong. It doesn't mean his teeth can't get knocked out. Like his gums aren't super strong.
I would imagine that they are. There's like he's threatened to like eat Wolverine on many, many occasions. And like I would imagine like his insides are just as strong because even if you eat Wolverine, like he's still alive going down your throat with adamantium claws. Like if you are weak, he's gonna claw his way out of that. But
no, I mean until I see it in a comic where he eats Wolverine and pops out, like that's just an idle threat or like a dumb joke. Like, haha, get it. I'll eat you. Like that's funny.
I don't. There's a great one. Hulk versus Wolverine.
I'll tell you what happens. It's like it is written, and I loved it. He rips the Wolverine.
It's fucking awesome.
And like throws him.
Yeah.
And he has to crawl slowly back to his body so he can regenerate.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
But there is no point where like he eats a mountain or like. No,
but I'm saying he could chew through like rock or steel. Like he's got super strong teeth, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I'm saying if he gets punched by a fucking mountain 20 times rapidly in 30 seconds, he might lose a tooth. That is such a small chicken armor. Like, I can't like this super strong hero because he got a paper cut. Hey, like, it's such a small thing.
That's me. Like, that's just me, again, coming to, like, the indestructibleness of the Hulk. And I guess, like, would he regenerate that tooth, you think? I would imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
Like, and it would come back pretty fucking quick, like...
Yeah, yeah.
And he would, I would think, be angrier about that and then become stronger against it, too, so... That's what I love about the Hulk, man. Like, all right, so you can fuck him up this way one time, but that's just going to piss him off, and it's not going to work again.
Oh, he's just an impossibly strong character with almost no weaknesses. That's why I love the Hulk.
I don't know.
It's the worst. That's the worst.
I just, it's fun. It's total.
That's okay. I'll take Captain America, the symbol of hope and humanity. You have your big, dumb, strong guy. Yeah, that's there fine.
We go. We've always said that's fine. I love it.
I'm not condescending in the slightest bit.
You are, but it's okay. So Age of Ultron, we have gotten no new stone.
No, what we do find out is Loki's scepter,
when we find this out by talking to the Collector, played by Benicio Del Toro.
In Guardians of the Galaxy, we find that out.
Oh yeah, he's in Guardians. Ultron. I'm sorry. Yeah,
he's not in Ultron.
Okay.
We find out there is an actual stone in that scepter. So Ultron, I think, uses a laser, breaks it open. We get the Soul Stone, or the Mind Stone, sorry. The Mind Stone, which is then used to make Vision, who is...
The ultimate body for Ultron.
Half machine, half man. The Mind Stone gives him, like, an actual intelligence, like, true AI.
A soul is what
and
I
he's made out of vibranium too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's something, because it was originally Ultron was making a body for himself.
Yes.
And he was going to be in that body, but the Avengers
stole it and put Jarvis into it, basically.
Thor goes off to speak to the Norse gods in a pool somewhere, and they tell him the Infinity Stones and Ragnarok's coming and all this shit. So he comes back and he's like, hey, put that stone in that body and then something's going to happen cool. And Vision happens. It's dumb. It's really like A to B to C plot writing. It doesn't flow organically. It kind of comes out of nowhere.
I think that's why 2 is kind of a flat fall.
I agree. I completely agree. But that said, there are moments.
There's a lot of cool moments.
And let me tell you, when Vision does come,
it's badass.
It's fucking Vision from the comics. He is phasing through robots, ripping them in half.
Yeah.
Like the scene.
The Vision. The scene. The best scenes, yeah.
Where they are, it's Iron Man, Thor, and Vision. Vision's shooting a mind beam, mind laser at Ultron. Iron Man's using his repulsor ray at him, and Thor's hammering lightning. You get these three beams going into Ultron. Fucking come to Jesus moment. Like, come before Jesus, come in the theater, come in my pants, come on my neck, whatever. I am fucking happy with that scene. Like, whatever. Fucking rest of the 2.5 hour movie shit, I don't care.
I don't think it's worth
it. I don't either. I'm saying, again,
I think the biggest saving grace of this movie is goddamn James Spader as Ultron, and I hope somehow, some way, Ultron has come back in some form.
I'm sure he will.
And I think so, and I, goddamn it, they better have James Spader again, because, man, it's so fun and so good what he's doing there, so...
He's modeled... Tony Stark is his father, so he has some of Tony Stark's wit to him, but more maniacal. So it's James Spader using very dry, sardonic wit, and it's perfect. It fits. His character motivations, I think we mentioned earlier, are completely horseshit.
Very daddy-ish.
And fall apart very easily, but whatever. So the biggest thing we get is Vision, who has an Infinity Stone. Wanda now joins the team, Scarlet Witch, she's an Avenger. And because of what happens in Ultron, Thor and Hulk are off doing something different. They're not part of the team anymore, they're gone. Tony Stark leaves because he has to attend his own stuff, whatever. Like, he's kind of done with the Avengers too.
And I think he's trying to work on preventing the vision that he had.
Yes, yeah.
That's why
he's still
leaves.
Working on that. So we're left with Captain America, Black Widow. Scarlet Witch, Vision, and War Machine, and Black Falcon. Black Falcon and Black War Machine
are
on the team.
Yes.
And that's your Avengers now.
Okay, so final one in phase two is my tie for my favorite movie of this phase.
Ooh.
And that's Ant-Man.
It's my fourth favorite.
Really? Yeah. And that's okay. I like
Ant-Man. Which is still good, because I think the others are fantastic.
This movie, again, we'll just go ahead and preface. I think this one can be pretty short. There's no Infinity Stone.
None.
It just is really setting up the Ant-Man character, played by Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
What a great fucking get.
And Michael Douglas as Hank Pym.
Yeah, is great, too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great... And the fucking chick from
Evangeline
Lost.
Lilly.
Yeah, Evangeline Lilly. Yeah,
Evangeline, yes.
Man, she's fucking awesome, too, dude.
And another great kind of twist on the formula, like, they have a romance that is not addressed. It is not like your stereotypical Hollywood superhero romance. It is just literally like they hate each other, and then, like, there's just one scene where they're kissing, and then that's it. And it makes sense why, but, like, they don't play up it. Like, they don't take needless time to deliberate on it. Really.
And I love Paul Rudd in this movie, man. It is like he saves this movie so much. Mm-hmm. Like, again, much like Guardians, this movie could have been a fucking huge flop. Giant fall on its face.
There were a lot of issues behind the scenes. Originally, Edgar Wright was going to write and direct. And there's still some of the Edgar Wright stuff in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not the stuff I love most. Like, most of the stuff was put in by Paul Rudd, started working on the script.
Yep, which is
and
good.
Adam McKay, who has... Right now, he's done The Big Short, which is actually an Oscar-nominated movie.
But he also did Eastbound and Down with Danny McBride.
Yeah, he did that. He did the Anchorman movie. He did Step Brothers, like... Why is he doing a superhero movie? Because he's a huge nerd.
He did it, and he got it, and he fucking killed it.
He's there. Those two are responsible for the Falcon versus the Ant-Man fight, which is fantastic, and I think, like, you need that in this movie.
Yeah, and it sets up, and it ties in the Avengers in the universe. It's great.
And it's such a smart way to do it. In the context of this heist film, they have to steal a piece of equipment from the Avengers facility. The Falcon notices Ant-Man right away, so they have to fight. And
it's a cool fight, it shows off both of their powers and their highlights, and really pits them against each other. And it's Ant-Man still getting used to the suit, so there's a lot of that.
Bumbling around and kind of like failing upwards through it.
Yeah.
And it's also like a good kind of tone. It's not like you're seeing these characters fight and you're not interested. Like, they're kind of jokey about it. Like, Paul Rudd the entire time is Scott Lang, his character, is just like, I'm so sorry. Like, you seem like a really nice guy, but I gotta do this. And like, it still makes it jovial. Still makes it fun. But they also did the subatomic realm. They put that stuff in this movie where if you shrink past a certain point, you go into the subatomic realm where you are going subatomic, essentially. Like,
and you may not come back.
Yeah, you start to lose all cognizance of what's going on. You just forget who you are. You just become nothing in this weird realm.
You become an atom, basically.
Yeah, another... and it's this very abstract, like M.C. Escher kind of thing with fractals and all this stuff. And it's like one of those really weird things that could go horribly wrong in another movie. Like, this movie is like a step away from being the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
But it's done well, and it's done with confidence. And like those two additions... think are fantastic. Like, so I'm completely on board with Adam McKay and Paul Rudd. Like, they're apparently working on Ant-Man and the Wasp as well. I'm happy for that.
Yep, it's gonna be good.
Yeah,
I'm looking very forward to that. That was my surprise hit of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, tying in,
yes,
what is coming up in Civil War?
So Civil War is the culmination of all these events. Essentially what we're going to see is the Avengers are reacting to a big event. Something's going to happen at the beginning of the movie. I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen. Winter Soldier is going to be framed for it. The Black Panther is going to get involved because I think it's going to have to do with the United Nations. Something happens at the United Nations and he'll be involved that way. Maybe he knows people who were killed in that. And this on top with what happened with Sokovia, on what happened with the Battle of New York in the first Avengers, and what's happened in Washington, D.C. in the Winter Soldier, you have the government, you have Tony Stark really thinking there's something wrong here. We're not protecting the Earth as well as we could be. And, you know, if something goes wrong, like one of these superheroes goes bad, like Bucky possibly did, we need to be regulated. We need to be kept in check.
Well, it should be held accountable.
Yes, accountability. So I think he's going to have a very valid reason, and Captain America is not going to like this. Their own hands are always the best hands to do it. Who can say what they can and can't do better than superheroes? Like, they know themselves. They know they're not going to go wrong. They're always going to be the best.
Who can stop the Chitauri invasion? That's not the NYPD.
Yeah, and then when you bring the government in, that brings like a bunch of politics, and that's not good. You don't want politics ruling who is saved, when, and why.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a fight of ideologies, and I think both sides are going to have valid points. No side's going to be clearly wrong, but they're going to be manipulated and pitted against each other by Baron Zemo, who I think is the big villain in this one, but I think he's going to be a villain in a similar way to Sam Rockwell,
okay,
which is... not much of a villain. I don't think he's going to have much screen time at all. He's just going to be a businessman or politician or some kind
pushing
of power influence, pushing buttons slowly. There's not going to be a fight with him at any point, I don't think. It is literally going to be Tony Stark and Captain America and then their sides fighting about this theological idea.
I think there's probably going to be three big fights between them.
I think there's going to be more than that.
You think? I think there'll be three big fights. I don't know. I mean, we definitely have the big airport one.
The big airport one... is apparently 15 to 16 minutes of uncut action, and that's the middle. Like, that's towards the end of the second act.
And then we have the big fight with Tony, Steve, and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I think, the final thing
in the
end.
I think so,
end. Too. And I think we're going to see a bunch of stuff in between, too. Like, there's already been the car chase, including the Black Panther, Winter Soldier, Captain America. So we'll see like a bunch of small things too, like small set pieces in between, but I think those are the two big fights.
So contributing to the overall Infinity War, will this have an Infinity Stone, you think?
No.
No?
I don't think this will have an Infinity Stone. I think the next time we see an Infinity Stone will be in Doctor Strange later this year.
I would agree so too.
And that's going to be the Time Stone.
Yep. So speaking of that, what stones do we have left? You've said Time Stone.
The Time Stone, which I think we'll see in Doctor Strange, that only leaves the Soul Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Soul Stone, I think we'll probably get in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
That Volume 2. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, because it's based on the music stuff.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. And what are their powers? We've kind of gone over those. So the Time Stone, I would imagine, has control over time.
Yeah, so time travel. And it's been rumored that the Doctor Strange movie is going to take place in different times. So I imagine there's going to be an incredible set piece, I'm hoping, where they fight through time.
That's
just
awesome.
In different things.
Yeah.
And that could be really cool. And then the Soul Stone is a little weird because it's very similar to the Mind Stone. The Soul Stone originally, I think, was used not with the Vision, but with Adam Warlock in the comics.
Okay.
But it kind of functions the same way. What it actually does in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think, will probably be different. And something to stand out more from the Mind Stone.
Okay. So, this is all building up to a thing. I guess let's touch briefly on Spider-Man.
I want to touch beef all day.
Yeah. Spider-Man will make an appearance in Civil War.
Yes.
How big of a role?
Not very. I think it's already been confirmed. He only has two small scenes, and then he's in the airport fight, and that's it. So I think a total of 15 minutes. But
they have come out to say that Robert Downey Jr. has signed on for Homecoming.
He will be in the Spider-Man movie.
So,
I'm hoping doesn't ruin the movie, because I kind of expected Tony Stark to die.
I don't think that's going to happen now. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen now unless Homecoming is a flashback the entire time, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
But I don't think they would sign him on for that reason, I don't think so either. Teaser. So.
Yep. So it makes me think maybe they will actually kill Captain America in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Or I don't think so much kill, but incapacitate. But sure. We'll see.
At the very least, yeah. So.
But I don't know how many more Chris Evans has signed on to do. I think
he's on for sure for the Infinity War, which is the third Avengers movie. So, third and fourth.
So something's going to happen. So, So my last thing to touch on, I guess, is Thanos. What is going to happen with Thanos in the near future, you think?
So, I mean, I don't think we're going to see a lot of him. I think he might pop up in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, kind of like he did in the first one, where it's literally you just see him for 5 minutes and like a very, very small thing, not affecting the plot. What's been talked about, Joe and Anthony Russo, the Russo brothers from Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War, will be directing Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Part 1 and 2,
So they are now in control of that, which is great. Yep. I love totally what they're doing so far. They've said the first movie is going to be primarily Thanos based. So you're going to see a lot of him in that first
movie. I'm excited to finally start seeing Thanos because he's going to be a cool character. He's going to be fucking fun and exciting and a lot of action. So
far, he's been kind of behind the scenes. And
he's going to come in and be my new Hulk, I feel. He's just going to come in and start wrecking everybody.
He's been pulling the strings behind the scenes. He's not been doing much. So they're going to have to really show how villainous and powerful he is.
He's
going
to have to start stepping in. And
I mean, to get the Infinity Glove, which I think is how the first movie has to end, is like him winning. Yeah. He gets the Infinity Stones and the glove, the gauntlet, puts it on, and that's, I think, the end of part one. I think it's going to end on a down note, kind of like Empire Strikes Back. The bad guys are going
to
win.
Not just putting it on, but putting it on and then beating everybody.
Well, to get the stones, he's going to have to remove one of them from Vision's head. Yeah. So I would put money. Vision dies in Avengers Infinity War Part 1.
So, Civil War, man. You excited?
I'm very excited.
I think it'll probably be the best Captain America.
This is the movie I'm most looking forward to this year.
Yep.
I would more say so my than most Rogue One.
This year. I'm not so excited about Rogue One. I think they're going to be fun. But
what else are you excited about this year?
I can't even think right now because I'm just kind of deep into champagne.
Yeah, that'll happen.
But I am looking forward to it. I know it's not my number one I'm looking forward to this year. So, but not to say that I'm not excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. So,
followed closely by The Nice Guys because Shane Black.
So there we go. I hope that was a good primer. I hope it gave you the information and you don't have to watch 12 movies up to this point.
Or do. They're still fun.
I mean, you've maybe at this point wasted 2.5 hours, which is one of these movies compared to, what would it be, almost...
That's true.
12 hours?
I saw they're doing, and I was tempted to do this, they're playing before Civil War, Captain America 1, Avengers 1, then Winter Soldier, then Avengers 2, and then Civil War, and that was 15 hours by itself.
Yeah.
So doing all of these, you're looking at 30-plus hours.
Yeah. So, again, audience, you're fucking welcome. I hope you appreciate what we do for you guys.
You ungrateful fuckers.
God damn it.
Go fuck yourselves.
You get what we do for you? We just sat here, we don't even like each other, and we talked for 2.5 hours.
Don't. Like, I don't even fucking like comics.
It's an act.
It's an act.
Yeah, like, fucking we're going for
paychecks.
Fucking
that Andre money.
Yeah.
Which is not much, admittedly.
We're going for Emmys and Grammys and Tonys and Oscars.
I mean, I feel like we're the podcasters of our generation.
Yeah.
I mean,
are the voice. So,
finger in the booty ass bitch. Right? That's some deep Kanye for you.
Thank you guys. Really, I hope this was a help. If you're interested in superhero movies at all, I hope you enjoyed it. And it did give you some catch up, because I know a lot of people haven't maybe watched even the first Iron Man for close to like 6 years now.
Yeah.
Could be a long time ago. So hopefully some of this really helped honestly catch you up.
It was just fun. Just fun talking about it. It should be fun to listen to, maybe.
And get ready for Captain America 3. So I look forward to seeing it with you, buddy. We've already got tickets and we're good to go, right?
I think so.
Awesome, buddy. All right, well, as always, I'm not going to tell you guys fuck off this time, because if you listen this long, that's pretty awesome, and you're the best.
Well, I already told them to fuck off, so.
Yeah, yeah.
We got it in. We get our weekly fuck off.
Yeah. Fair
enough. So after somebody you fuck to. Off, you should look us up over at facebook.com/experiencegrind. Find Kyle over at twitter.com/expgrind.
Podcast.
Podcast. Thank you. I can't fucking ever do it right. twitch.tv/experiencegrind. You can find us on YouTube. Search for Experience Grind. All of our episodes are up there.
But we will.
We will. And you can also find us on Stitcher, iTunes. Soon we'll be on the Google Play Store. Yep. We have very, very many soon. Places you can find us.
If you want to listen, you cannot not find yes. us. So.
And if for any reason you're ever not able to find our episodes, they are all on experiencegrind.com. We'll yep. be storing everything there. So if anything ever happens, find us there. And
the last thing I would like to say, we are always taking requests.
Yes.
Video games or movies. We do have some that we are working on right now. But please keep them coming. We're always looking forward to anything you guys want us to talk about. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. We will grind that fucking experience out.
Doesn't matter, but we'd like good.
Yeah.
We would like good.
Or something that you do enjoy. But if it's something yeah. that you just want us to suffer through, we'll fucking take it too. But
also, you should probably tell us if you like it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want us to shit on something for an yeah, hour straight might, either. Sure. So you
but
should,
anyways, maybe. Thank you, as always. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And grind out.